Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the laws of the soul. But before we take a look at this topic, I just want to briefly mention that we have a gift for you, which I'll talk about a little later. So, stay with us, and you'll hear more about that. And all the work of Lucis Trust is has merely been started by Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show, and all the dialogue that you hear from this show emanates from the 24 volumes of literature written by Alice Bailey, as does this particular thought, by the way. The laws of the soul give us the key to the entire psychological problem of every human being, and there is no condition which is not produced by the conscious or unconscious reaction to these basic influences. And that's, once again, by Alice Bailey from one of her books, Esoteric.
Evading the laws and requirements of the soul. One has to pass through every step and observe every condition and requirement in order to develop spiritually. So it has the effect kind of pulling one's socks up, of pulling one up short, because you realize you have to have the discipline and the awareness and the humility to adapt yourself to these requirements, to learn what they are and to obey them. And obedience is not a very popular quality among human beings. Today, probably it never has been, but especially not today. The idea of having to be obedient to anyone or anything other than one's own will is abhorrent. And yet, really, we are staying within that urge to have freedom, because the laws of the soul are self-imposed. They're not imposed from some exterior source. The soul exists within every human being, and nothing and no one can make you submit to those laws until you yourself realize that it's time and right and inevitable. So what we're talking about when we speak of laws is not something that somebody else, the church or some senior spiritual official or your mother or anyone is forcing you to do. It's a recognition that each person reaches within himself or herself, that there are requirements and standards that one has to strive to meet.
That's true, and I think what impresses me about these laws is that they have a universal quality, a universal nature to them also. They are laws of the soul that, just as human beings respond to the laws, the man-made laws that we all have to respond to every day, that the soul also has a large body of laws that it has to respond to, and in turn we have to respond to those same laws, because that's essentially what we are. We are that soul in this physical body. So we have to respond also to these universal laws as they work out.
First, we have to figure them out. And I think for eons of human history, these laws have probably been assigned to the category of the mysteries of life. that it was God's will that such and such happened. It was something out of a human being's hands and something that he had no control over. So it was a mystery. People didn't know why death happened, why suffering happened, why limitation and sorrow and hardship happened, or why joy happens, or gifts that come unexpectedly in life. All of that was assigned to the realm of mystery. But now, as the human mind develops and human beings become more and more able to think, things are coming under the category of law rather than mystery. And the realm of the soul is one of those aspects of life that is being recognized as a series of laws that the human mind and will can grasp through contemplation, through meditation, through experience, through reflection. These laws can be grasped and understood. And when one can grasp them mentally, then I think you can begin to cooperate with them because you understand more and your will is engaged. And so what used to be mystery now is a science. The laws of the soul are a science, just like many other fields of human experience are.
Well, maybe we should mention one of those, or more than one, but we could mention one of them is the law of sacrifice. What did she say about that?
Well, it's one of the major conditions that is imposed by the soul on the human being living in what we call the three worlds, the emotional, mental, and physical worlds of our daily experience. Sacrifice, again, is one of those qualities that's not very popular. And we notice in our school of spiritual training, the Arcane School, how many of our students recoil from the idea of sacrifice. And what's interesting is that the first thought the student is given for his meditation when he enters the school touches on sacrifice. And many of the students rebel against that. But in fact, the word sacrifice is from the Latin, which means literally to make holy. To make holy. And when you think of sacrifice as the making holy of some action, then I think it takes on some significance.
Yes, it's as it says in the book on the esoteric psychology, that we're already responding to this law of sacrifice.
Like it or not.
Well, many people do. They're very willing to sacrifice and give up some of their time. They relinquish their time for their children, or they relinquish their time to help in community projects and things like that. So, I mean, these are little sacrifices, and even those that the big sacrifice of one is willing to give up his life for some greater cause. But that's all a response to this law of sacrifice.
It's, in a sense, if you boiled it down, it's the giving up of something lesser for something greater. Mm-hmm. And on the level of the soul, it's a choice. It's a conscious choice of values that appreciates the greatness of something and is willing to give up something lesser for that greater good. And it's one of the major lessons of human development, that we learn to discriminate, to discern difference in quality, and gradually to prefer the higher quality or the greater principle or the greater good over the lesser. And on the spiritual path, these distinctions between greater and lesser become increasingly subtle. We're not talking about black and white, evil and good, spirit and matter. We're talking about a greater good and a lesser good. And it's the fine tuning of these choices and sacrifices that hones the will of the soul and develops the sense of spiritual quality and principle that every human being has to grasp.
I think that's the main point behind sacrifice, is that one one sacrifices and one loses in order to gain something greater.
Mm-hmm.
When usually in a true act of sacrifice, one is gaining more than what one is losing.
Well, yes. There's that saying, to hold one must detach, to keep one must release, such is the law. In letting it go, you find that you gain something much greater, and really nothing's lost.
Mm-hmm. Right. And this law, as I was interested to read, that this law also, it doesn't affect only the soul and human beings. It affects everything, and it's one of the most basic laws underlying the force of evolution. And it goes even up to the deity of this planet itself. He undertook, or he, if you can call it a he, undertook a great sacrifice to create and work through this physical planet and give his life to all the life forms upon this planet. So that is another indication or another example of how deep and universal this great law is.
On the opposite spectrum of evolution, there's the sacrifice that starts from the mineral kingdom on up. The water that receives the gift of minerals, which is then passed on to the plant kingdom, which is then passed on to the animal kingdom, and the animal kingdom then makes its sacrifice to the human. You can see this pattern of giving for the higher good of the higher kingdom all the way up through evolution. And it also goes in the reverse direction, the sacrifice of the, what would you say, of the one who knows more or who has achieved a greater wisdom in order to bring along the lesser. We find the most natural example of that in the relation of a parent to a child. The parent sacrifices in order to help the child develop. And the teacher sacrifices her wisdom, her time, her energy in order to help the student grow in consciousness. So it's a flow of energy both up and down the evolutionary spectrum that makes life possible. The whole concept of evolution on our planet depends on this law of sacrifice, of giving, the giving of the greater for the lesser, and the giving up of the lesser for the greater choice. It goes both directions, and the whole evolution of life depends upon it. So it's an utterly beneficent law. And one of the odd things about human nature is that we recoil from the idea of sacrifice when it is such a deeply sacred and benign purpose. We should rejoice in it. I think the problem that people have with it is that they think it's imposed upon them and not their own choice. Mm-hmm. We need to see these things as our own choice.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and the topic of today's program is the laws of the soul. All the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005, and we really appreciate your help in this endeavor to keep this program on the air. So once again, the address if you'd like to donate. And when I say donate, it doesn't have to be a large sum. A lot of the donations that come in to keep us on the air are nominal. Others are large, but we appreciate all the help that you can give us, and we thank those people who have been so generous to us. Once again, the address, Lucis Trust, Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we also have I mentioned earlier in the show when we first started about a little gift that we have for you, and it's a paper, and the title of the paper is Laws of the Soul, and it's taken from the book by Alice Bailey, which is really the background of our discussion today. Most of the dialogue comes from the book called Esoteric Psychology by Alice Bailey, and this is this gift to you is from that book. It's called Laws of the Soul. You'll learn more about what we're discussing today if you read that. We'll be happy to send it out to you, of course, free of charge. The number that you'll call to have that book sent out to you is 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York Lucis, NY-LUCIS. That's L-U-C-I-S for Lucis. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. Let me see if I've got this right. I'm trying to assimilate all this information that Sarah and Dale are setting forth, and what I perceive is that everyone, that the soul is part of all of us. We're all part of the soul. The soul is within us, and that really to reach the highest potential of our own existence, we on this level should be in sync or in harmony with the soul's values. And any time we depart from the soul's values, we have to somehow be brought back to be in sync with those values. Is that correct? Is that perception correct?
Yes, I think that's the, in a nutshell, the whole struggle of the human experience, that there is suffering and pain when we depart from the values of the soul. And the parable of the prodigal son is the story of that journey away from the soul, away from the father, and the realization that having traveled to a far distant land, he was bereft of everything meaningful and awakened to his emptiness and need and decided, I will arise and go to my father. And the soul then, the individual then made the return journey to the father's home, the realm of the soul. That parable is the story of the struggle of the personal self and the pull of the soul. It's a duality that's set up between the selfishness of wanting to live a totally personal, individualistic life and the inclusive group consciousness of the soul, which exerts its pull increasingly as one awakens spiritually. The real power lies on the side of the soul, we're told. It will eventually win out, but it's up to each of us to decide how slowly or how quickly that victory will come.
Yes, and it's all a matter of relinquishment along the way. And the example you gave of the prodigal son, what he had to relinquish in order to return to the father was all of that, the experience that he had gained in the world. And he had to leave all of that behind. And that requires a certain amount of relinquishment. And anyone who is serious about their spiritual studies, their spiritual path, can also work at this act of relinquishment and sacrificing the lesser for the greater.
And it's not the same for everyone, is it? For one person, relinquishing certain values and goals would be quite different for another. For example, someone who is awakening to the life of the mind might pursue as a very high goal an advanced education. And that would be utterly right and a real step forward for that person. But then there's another stage that a human being reaches where he realizes the life of the lower concrete mind, which is what education develops, can take you only so far, and then you need to relinquish that for something still higher, the spiritual consciousness. So always there is this sacrifice of the lesser for still greater goals. And that's what I mean about saying the path is so subtle. The phrase, the razor-edged path, is no laughing matter. The distinctions between good and greater good become finer and finer and more difficult to distinguish.
Mm-hmm. But even at the lower end, I think one can begin this process of detaching oneself or relinquishing, even at the physical or the attachments that we have, for example, with our physical world, our material things, and the house and all the stuff.
But not the car.
Not the car. Okay, forget the car.
Not the Mercedes. Oh no.
It isn't. I just want to say it isn't the material things themselves that we should have to give up. What we have to relinquish.
I can keep my Mercedes.
Yeah. You have to. What you have to relinquish from your Mercedes is the attachment to it.
Oh, I see.
And it's the same with all material forms. It's the attachment we have for these forms, and because that represents a certain identification with form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the relinquishing of that attachment and identification with form that enables us to move on and let go and to move up and thereby gain more freedom and liberation from the from those attachments.
Well, knowing both of you as I do, if you had a Mercedes, you'd probably donate it to some spiritual advancement.
Well, I don't know. It'd be a test.
But, I want to bring us back to that wonderful thought that we opened with, because I think I understand it better now. And it was by Alice Bailey, taken from her book, Esoteric Psychology. The laws of the soul give us the key to the entire psychological problem of every human being, and there is no condition which is not produced by the conscious or unconscious reactions to these basic influences. Now, I take that to mean that all negativity, and this may be kind of far-fetched, but you'll comment on that, that all negativity of the human condition is a result of departing from the values of the soul that lives within us. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what you mean by negativity. Now, there are hardships and deprivations that we would view as negative, unpleasant, that might be exactly right and called for by the soul according to its purposes. What this statement from Alice Bailey seems to suggest when she says there's no condition that is not produced by the conscious or unconscious reaction to the laws of the soul is saying that everything is proceeding according to law. And if we can begin to accept that the soul is imposing its laws and its corrective measures upon our life, then maybe we can begin to see the meaning and significance of whatever our circumstances and limitations are, and they become kind of a creative experience rather than an imposed limitation.
Yes, I think we also have to realize that these originate from the soul, and they're not from our genes. These impulses don't originate from our physical.
And they're not your mother's fault.
That's right. Yeah.
And for those people who would like to have that gift that we spoke about earlier, just feel free to call us at 1-866-695-8247, or the easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. LUCIS, rather. That's 1-866. Think of New York LUCIS, and we'll be happy to send that gift out to you. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.